Okay, so let's do the holy letters of the Rebbe. This is dated on the ninth day of Sivan in the year Tavshin Yud Aleph in Brooklyn. Shalom Abracha. So the Rebbe writes like this: I just received your letter dated the 25th day of Iyar. As you can see, in those days, the mail didn't work as fast. It took a couple of weeks for a letter from Israel to come to the United States. I don't know why I'm saying Israel, but I'm assuming. I don't know why I assumed that for a second. But, no, wherever it came from. But for sure, there's no name over here. I think most of the cases, they don't have a name because they don't want to disclose who it was written to or... So the Rebbe says, for sure you already received the booklet with the sicha together with my letter. And during an auspicious time, I will mention you and your wife, may she live, on the tzion of my father-in-law, the Rebbe, for all that you need. And I am still at the same point. I already wrote you from a time ago. I don't understand at all your bitterness and your depression, Rebbe says. Even a person who's at age garguso, as the Gemara says, he's just ahead of some mundane thing that he has, you know, no big deal, you know, he's just Aresh Gargus, I forget the thing of the Gemara is, he had some trees over there or whatever, he's just a very unimportant job. But comes the Gemara says, Mishamayi Kamanel, it comes from Hashem. So especially if you're a Rav, you're a rabbi by the Jewish people, that's not something that comes by itself. They appointed you. God appointed you. God gave you that job. So, of course, that you need to know the responsibility that it's placed upon you. And it's even more obvious that if these kinds of thoughts cause you to be depressed, so if these kinds of thoughts cause you depression, and they cause you to be sad, depressed, and amar shchodim. So this must be that they're coming from the other side, the opposite side. They're not rooted in holiness, but they're actually rooted on the other side. And as my father-in-law, the Rebbe, used to call him, fundem kluginken in Yiddish, the clever one, you know, the clever one, which means that every, and you know, he's trying to trick you into getting those feelings. And every hour, every instant that you think about these thoughts come from places, from the heicholos, from rooms of the others said. And this, with regards to them, it says in the Tanya that as soon as they enter your mind, these feelings, you must push it away with both hands and totally take your mind off of them. Don't accept them. No, don't entertain these kinds of depressing thoughts. Don't even allow them to creep in. Just as soon as they creep in, just push them away. So this is something which is expected from every person. And we know the Midah of Beinunim, the Midah that the Tanya talks about, the average person, that's the measure that all people should try to follow and to be drawn after that. So, now, the Rebbe makes a point over here in the parentheses. He says, well, we're saying about what the Tanya says, this is the average person. The Tanya also says that a Beinuni, the average person, never committed a sin in his life. So we know that that's not true. We've done sins. We made a lot of mistakes in our lives. Not even one, not just one mistake. So how could we say that this is a something that everybody could do and everybody can follow, when we know that the average person makes mistakes? So how could we say that this is the Beinoni, the expectation? Because in chapter 14, the Alter Rebbe writes that a person can be that level every time and every place. So the Rebbe says, when the Tanya says he hasn't done any sin, he has never committed a sin, he's not talking about literally that during his lifetime or in the past he hasn't done sins, that he had made a mistake. He's talking about that according to his standing now, he is so dedicated to Hashem that now it's as if he's never done and he never will do. So in his position now, he's so strong in his commitment to Hashem that he won't and he will never, that he never did. But it's not actually talking about what did happen, but we're trying to describe his standing right now. His devotion to Hashem is so strong that he would never do anything against Hashem. So, from all the above, it's understood that this that you write in your letter, that you're looking for another position, another job, I am totally not happy with that. I am not in agreement. You need to continue in your position and to be strong in your trust in Hashem, that He will lead you in the true way and you will be successful in your holy work. Rabbi says him. And if you have doubts sometimes, they fall doubts by you. So he says, those doubts are not really doubts in your capabilities. You could do it. These doubts are only doubting your trust in Hashem. And what is the advice? How do you gain trust in Hashem? So it's not, I guess maybe the rabbi was saying he doesn't feel himself competent, he's questioning, he's not sure whether he can really do it. And the rabbi says this is not a question whether you're competent or not. It's just a question how much you trust in Hashem. So how do you build up your trust in Hashem? So the rabbi says one of the ideas is to learn about in the gate of trust in the book called the Chovos HaLevavos. There is a book of very famous book of the obligations of the heart, which is called the Shara B'tochen. But in general, to be tied to the tree of life, which is the teaching of Chassidus, and to be during Chassidus gathering, Fabrengens, with a joyful Chassidic, true joy, Chassidic joy, to do this often, to be joyful and to make others happy. So you be happy, make others happy. Since you have already gone into your new home, so you should organize a Hasidic Fabrengen as it should be, and remind yourself about the olden times that we Fabrenged, that you on during a Fabrengen, we would just, you know, get together and be together, the camaraderie, and you didn't make any calculations, what this one is going to say is so, and what is the left side, meaning the evil inclination, what the right side is going to say. We knew that it is a Hasidic gathering to hear some Hasidus, to hear a Hasidic expression, a story about our leaders, that brings in light. And a little light can push away lots of darkness. And further, why do we need to consider and think about darkness, about negativity? Let's better think about the light, especially that we are standing now at the time in which the first luchos, that was around Shavuos time over here, when the first luchos were given, And over there it says they were engraved, chorus. Chorus, al tikru chorus al chedus. We have to know not engraved, but freedom. The Torah brought us freedom. So, the Rebbe concludes, may it be the will, that in this new dwelling place that you're moving in, it should be Mishana Moko Mishana Mazel Latova, which means if you change your place, should also change your good fortune for the good, so that you should turn things around for the good, and your home should be a warm home, a happy home, filled with the light, with the lamp of mitzvah and the light of Torah. And the luminary of Torah, which is Torah Chassidus, and the ways of Chassidus and the conducts of Chassidus, and from time to time to make their Hasidic gatherings. I look forward for good news, from improvement in your spirit, and that in the sort towards in the end, let it be even by accepting the yoke, you will take upon yourself that from now on, in the future, you will fulfill the command of the Torah to serve Hashem with joy and with gladness of heart. So here you say now you can understand why there is no name over here to protect the identity, but not sure who this is or what happened. Hopefully he listened to the Rebbe's advice, and hopefully he didn't, but you definitely see that the Rebbe says that all these distractions and all these ideas and the doubts and the things that creep into your mind do not come from a good source. It's actually trying to put you down. And those are thoughts that, you know, when they come and you dwell on them and you entertain them and you harbor on them, then they can actually put you down. And to you, they become very real, so that your tzuris become unsurmountable. Your problems are good, and sometimes people get to a situation they want to commit suicide because they can't take anymore their troubles. I just read today that a 30-year, you know, committed in New York, she's Israeli from Israeli woman that jumped off like and killed, you know. Some people have reasons, you know, whatever, but not healthy reasons. But the Rebbe emphasized very strongly that you have to serve Hashem with joy. And you can't allow, you got to push away all those negative thoughts. And you shouldn't doubt yourself. And you shouldn't try to escape responsibility, but rather trust in Hashem, study, and learn those parts that increase your trust in Hashem, and learn Chassidus, be around Chassidim, be joyful, be happy, and be, you know, make others joyful, then you'll be joyful too. When a person usually is down, he wants to be left alone, he wants to be by themselves, they don't want anybody, you know, they don't even want you to pull them out. They want to, in their misery, they want to sit there but that's not healthy. That's not healthy. So the Rebbe is encouraging him and pushing him. Apparently, this was a rabbi who had had doubts about himself, and the Rebbe encouraged him to be strong.